I'm also writing down the facts of the supposed inspiration for James Bond is Christopher Lee.
Oh no, this man was like just...
He lived a life.
Yeah. He was the original, the most interesting man in the world.
Yes. He received commendations by the end of the war for bravery from British, Polish, Czech, and Yugoslavian governments.
Man, Dracula.
And he's Dracula. Speaking both French and Italian, Lee spent his time after World War II hunting Nazis with the Central Registry of War Criminals and Secretary Suspects until he decided to give acting a try at age 25. Jesus, this is all before the age of like...
Yeah. This that man lived.
He lived a life and he's not even 30 yet?
Yeah.
God damn.
Then he decides, you know what, I feel like acting. Let me try that out.
Yeah.
Alright, let's get this guy.
Okay. Here we go. We're going in. Five... 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and of course with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards. You can't even do a simple hello. You can't even do a simple hello.
I'm tired of doing, what's up, everyone? You know, it's getting a little, it's almost like, what's up, guys? And then you go into like and subscribe. And
oh, you could just say, hey, what's up? How's it going? How you people's doing? You know, you could say other things besides saying, what's up, guys? Just pen clicks. That's all we get now, just pen clicks.
It'll be something different each time.
Yeah.
This is why I wish I had a soundboard.
Yeah, I think it's time we should get a soundboard.
It's already prepped up, but I'm very cautious about it.
You don't want to give him that power.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't know. I don't think you should even have that power.
Oh, I don't even want that power.
We can even do like a little special segment where I go like, oh no. And then it goes into like, oh, who died this week?
Like the minute.
No. My fear is because you're going to want the air horn and it's going to overplay so damn much. So I'm just going to get rid of
MLG horns. Yeah. Yes. No, my fear is like the minute we give him a soundboard, it's going to be like a radio station. Coming up live, Mike in the game.
Wow.
Yeah. Just crazy stupid sound.
Come on. Just at least two buttons like that and the rest can be like, I don't know. We'll program it. We'll program it together.
Absolutely not. Man, you guys doing good tonight though?
Yep.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's finally getting a little warmer, though.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Weather's finally changing. It's no longer super cold.
Now it's going into super hot.
It ain't there yet. It's not there. There's still some snow on the mountains.
It's going to continue to go up and down for a little while.
Yeah.
I'm already sweating.
But I don't know. We might even get an early summer this year. So. Oh,
damn.
Son of a bitch.
Hopefully.
We got a pull, man.
We got a pull, man.
We got to start using that.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyways, let's just jump into this film news because we got a lot more to talk about tonight than we did last week. A little things kind of caught up in the film news section.
Yeah.
You know, we got a little more stuff going on, so let's just hop right into this. First off, what we have here, Netflix is to invest over $1 billion into Mexico over the next 4 years to produce films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an actual huge leap for them. I know Netflix has slowly been integrating themselves into the Mexican market.
Yes.
I know that, you know, back in 2011, they finally opened and released Netflix for Mexican subscribers. I think 2 years ago, they opened up their own official headquarters for Latin America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know they've been trying to produce a lot more shows and television series down over there. So this is actually pretty interesting that they're going to jump big and move forward into fully developing series and television shows down over there.
Yeah, because they have actually... There is a large market for Spanish-speaking subscribers.
Because
they did over the years, they have worked on a few ones like House of Flowers and Where the Track Ends.
Mm-hmm.
They've also worked on some big movies.
Yeah.
There's a whole history behind the whole filming in Mexico. Unfortunately, it was disrupted during the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it's coming back.
It's coming back. A lot of big shows that were popular in the English was like Narcos.
Yeah.
Filmed in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was huge.
Yeah.
I watched that.
But even the last Saw movie was filmed in Mexico.
It was filmed in Mexico City.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So a lot of actually things being filmed in Mexico City. So I'm not surprised that they chose as well with the, the whole filming here in the U.S.
is yeah, how it is, but not, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're also going to be putting $2 million into the, what, Churubusco?
Yes, studio? The Churubusco mm-hmm. studio complex.
Yeah, that was like the really old studios where they first started producing films in Mexico. So they're yeah, actually yeah. really trying to renovate the studio lot area itself.
One of the oldest built in 1940s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only that. They have a history so far, a mm-hmm. most recent history of winning Oscars in movies that they've made, mm-hmm. including Roma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot that.
That won for Best Foreign Language Feature. Mm-hmm. That was a first for Netflix in Mexico.
Yeah.
It was also, you also have Bardo, made by Alejandro Die. I hope I pronounced his last name right. Inarritu.
Inarritu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was also submitted an Oscar for Best, a submission for Oscars, but also...
He also did Birdman, so...
And he did Birdman, yep. Yeah. And Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which won an Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
I forgot that. It did win an award, yeah.
That was another first for Mexico and Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, though, this can possibly affect Netflix, though? I mean, due to the recent political climates we've been going through?
No, I don't think
so. Like, for me, it just seems like they're just doing their usual business standards and how they've been slowly trying to develop into Mexico, but... You know, the political climate, how it is right now. Do you think people are just going to jump in and start like, oh, this is controversial. Them trying to help out, seeing.
There will be those who are like trying to push onto the whole, trying to push either immigration or something like that. But the truth is no, because other studios are trying to, we talked about recently, they're trying to work with India. They're trying to work, across the entire, essentially the world.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to expand out of just the U.S.
Yeah. They're trying to hit that world market. That's where the money is. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've learned, because over the last, 15, 20 years, the last 10 years alone, we've learned that if we work with other studios, different countries, we produce great content.
Yeah.
Even out of Korea, we've already seen a lot of great shows coming out of there already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's one of those things I think we're just hitting a more bright, wider market mm-hmm. instead of trying to be in-house and like, oh, let's just do everything here. Mm-hmm. Because, come on, everything we create is not gold.
Yeah. See, what would be like one studio you would like for them to invest into like a foreign production studio or company? Like, so you have like Netflix producing into Mexico. You have Sony now being involved more in anime, producing studios in Japan, stuff like that. Like, what would you like to see for like an American production studio to be invested into a foreign?
I have a feeling where this is already happening, but I can't remember. But for Universal to invest in India itself.
India.
Yeah, because we saw it come out. What's that movie that just came out? Monkey Paw.
Yeah.
Was it Monkey Paw?
No. Monkey Paw Productions was the one.
Monkey Paw Productions did...
Monkey Man.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of...
Monkey's Paw.
A lot of actually good things are coming out of India itself. And I believe that's a country that could produce like actually pretty good action films and a couple of like dramas as well.
Okay. What about you, Mike?
I kind of want to get... I almost want to go like the weirder route of choosing like a country that's just like we don't really see enough of.
Yeah.
I'm either going one for like Denmark or even for like, say, Australia.
Okay.
Because Australia, we got the Mr. In-Between.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that show.
Okay.
But I think there was only like 2-3 seasons or something like that, if I remember right. And yeah, and then it was just that was it.
Okay. No, that's pretty dumb. See, I'd like to see something like Shudder getting more involved into like Italian horror or like South Korean horror.
Okay. I don't think the world's ready for that. That's got to be toned down.
It's good though. It's so good though.
But it has to be toned down for like,
I don't know,
American audiences.
Yes. Because I mean, they do get heavy into the body horror, like just really deep into it. So that's the thing.
Well, I think you're getting that more confused with like certain directors only. And that's like 2 or 3 directors who are really like obsessed with the body horror. I think you're taking those guys as like the totality of all their works.
No, but it's just the ones, I guess those are the ones coming out of the market, major ones coming out of the market itself.
Yeah. Well, those are the major controversial ones. Yeah. So without focusing just on those, they have a really good catalog of horrors on both sides that don't just involve body horror.
I guess.
Especially South Korean when they have a lot of ghost stories that are really well put together.
That's the one I'm not sure if people could actually handle.
Is it too scary or?
It's just so out there. The idea of like, because one thing I've learned was that
careful, you don't clip your nails past 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's like it's things like that where just American audience
or a ghost gonna snatch your toes.
Our supernatural compared to their supernatural is completely different.
But you know, we've always taken their supernatural and Americanized it.
Yes, and that's we failed at it heavily.
There's some good ones.
Which ones?
He got you on that one.
No. Okay. To be fair, the Grudge series actually did pretty well on its own.
Yes.
Tale Twid's Two Sisters, which was like The Uninvited, that did decently well.
Okay.
So you see, like, there's some,
but you got to see that overall.
Overall, I get what you're saying.
It's so out there. It's ideal.
But we always talk about like, we make these American bastardized ones and they do so bad and it makes people force them to watch the original ones and then they like the originals. So it's like,
I get it. It's same thing like, what's it called? Like Wreck and, you know.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah.
What's the name of the movie in, remember the forest in Japan? Like the
The Suicide Forest.
Like, that was interesting. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Don't leave the path and then, you know, just get haunted by the souls of people that have died.
See, I think that's the biggest issue. It's like, there's the material that is written is well made. It's just the translation. The execution is always poor because they're trying to do it still in the standard poor. You see on the issue?
Yeah.
Oh, like formula.
The formula is still trying to hit the horror movie beats when these movies go off beat.
Yeah.
They're still going to scare me.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
they're still going to scare me.
But they're good. And they're put together well.
I'll watch on a small screen.
Yeah, on your phone.
On my phone, without the headphones.
You have your phone right here and your girl's phone. One playing the horror movie, the one playing Bluey.
So yeah, like, it's switch between.
Can I just have it with Subway Surfers like at the bottom of the screen? Yeah. Just brain rot.
Yeah. No, but yeah, that's going to be interesting seeing the next 4 years as more productions are going to be made in Mexico and especially going to be popping on Netflix. I'm not on Netflix that much, though. That's the one thing.
Every now and again for me.
Yeah. Every now and then I'm hopping them back and forth.
Pinocchio was so good. Did you watch that?
No, not yet.
You haven't seen that one? Not the Disney one. The Guillermo
del Toro one. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
That shit hurts. Hope you bulletproof, motherfucker.
All right. Next, what we have here. This is actually pretty interesting. A lot of people didn't know the AI developing company, Stability AI. If you guys don't know, if you heard the software Stable Diffusions or anything like that, these are like AI video generated, AI photo generated softwares to like create fake images and videos. They're now getting slowly more involved into the film studio in Hollywood. And they actually have a board member, which is James Cameron himself, who's helping leading them to be more integrated into Hollywood. And this is going to be interesting, too, because this has a lot of fears. This is AI being well integrated now into the film studio, into Hollywood, into film production, all that stuff. But what they're claiming is this is not going to be a full replacement of jobs or artists or any type of artwork that they're going to be producing. This is more for like VFX companies and like computation uses, which that's what we always talked about. That's what AI needs to be used for in the film industry rather than trying to create full-blown images and ads and stuff like that and trying to recreate actors and actresses for likenesses. So I actually agree with how they want to go about this, but I know this has still a lot of worries for people.
Yeah. I mean, it's when we read through the article was one line that we read like, that doesn't sound right.
The wording of what he said. That's the chief technology officer, Hanno Boss. Yeah, what did he say?
Says, I don't know anything that's impossible in the industry today, especially in the advancement of visual effects. So I don't think AI is impossible. What is it really about making things faster and cheaper? If you look at your budgets today, whether it's TV or film, 87 or 90% of that budget is human labor. And I'm not talking about putting people out of work, but I'm talking about a lot of labor. It's not fun to do.
Yeah.
So the way he worded it made it seem like these people are going to be just thrown away.
Yeah, we're going to take away 80 to 97% of people.
Which is, no.
Not what he's saying.
Yeah, because he says like, when he says here, if you look at your budgets today and the words like faster and cheaper, and then using 87 to 90% of your budget is human labor, that's like already telling me, oh shit, they're going to save money.
By cutting out the human element, the human labor. But I know what he's trying to say is a lot of films nowadays are a lot more VFX heavy. So yeah. Most of that production budget isn't the people actually on site filming. Most of that production budget is going to go to the VFX company where they hire thousands of people to create, you know, design backgrounds, character models, all the CG works. Mm-hmm. What he's claiming is a lot of those people, what they do is very mundane tasks that eat up a lot of time. Production studios now, they want their movies out faster. You're no longer given like the full year to work on or like the 6 or 8 months. Yep. They want you to finish films within 3 to 4 months.
It's cranked.
And even blockbusters have like huge, huge amounts of CGI. Mm-hmm. So what they want to use AI, especially generative AI, is to help with the computations of small tasks like rotoscoping, keyframing, all that stuff. Things that eat up a lot of time and doesn't require a lot of brain power because, you know, rotoscoping, you're just going from clip, mask out, clip, yeah. mask out mm-hmm. character, clip, I mean, like every scene, every and still.
Mass tracking,
all that stuff. If you have AI that can handle all that stuff, you can now move on to other bigger parts of your production that you need to focus more on rather than just paying one person to spend 8 to 12 hours of the day drawing lines around a character or an object or a ball or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is actually a normal thing to happen
mm-hmm.
because, like I said, when people hear about AI, they think it's a scary thing where it's, you know, it's going to take over everyone's job. And this AI is actually a magic wand to a film where they just press one button
and it'll just produce a film all by itself.
Yeah, yeah. Which, no, it doesn't do that. This is just another tool added to the toolbox itself for filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened since the very beginning of Hollywood when you had certain jobs that no longer exist because technology advances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you no longer have the person physically cutting the film.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
you have digital. You know, it's one of those things that just changes over time.
And yes, unfortunately, some jobs will be taken away. We're not going to probably have rotoscope artists as many. Like, you know, when you see a Marvel film, how many names are rotoscope artists?
Yeah.
Like the dozens. Almost like sometimes it almost feels like it could be hundreds.
Yeah.
At that point, you can now take all those people away. And that's those jobs that will unfortunately be affected, like rotoscope artists. But it might not just be that their jobs are completely gone. They might just be put onto other things, other projects that don't require all day rotoscoping.
Yeah, because there's no such thing as a specialty, you know, where a person's on the resume saying, no, I'm a specialty rotoscope artist. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that doesn't exist.
Do you think it would be more of like an added tool for these rotoscope artists, rather than getting rid of these people, would it just be like an essential to feed or give them this tool to be able to rotoscope whatever subject that they're working on and then touch ups on?
Unfortunately, if AI does keep getting better, I do see it doing away with the job. So like nowadays, rotoscope artists, what they do now is they'll get the first frame of the still image that they're working on the scene,
yeah.
mask around that, and then whatever software, you know, After Effects, Nuke Fusion, whatever, they'll let that software play through the entire clip, and it's already doing a good job tracking and masking the rotoscope for every still to cover whatever you need to replace the object. It's already doing good with that. So now with faster and better AI tools,
mm-hmm.
you no longer have to have that rotoscope artist recheck over every still just to make sure it can do its nice, fine tweaks.
It also says here in the article that they're looking to get... Wait a minute. It said that they were looking to get their data not by scraping YouTube or whatever, but they're actually looking into data deals with people, negotiating training data deals.
Okay.
So maybe this is their way of kind of employing these rotoscope artists.
Okay.
And then teaching the machine.
Yeah.
But what that means for the future for them, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's where it's no matter what, when you move into the future of any industry, there's some jobs that are going to be left behind. We used to talk about that one job position on any film studio. What was like the VTR or whatever it is? The guy whose job.
Say the diddler.
Well, the diddler too. Yeah.
Yeah. Diddler. But you know what I'm saying? That guy whose job was just to press play on the VCR tape.
That's right.
He had a whole ass job, and now like that's not necessary.
Yeah.
You don't need some guy who knows how to work all these monitors and machine and tape recorders to press play just to watch playback.
Yeah.
Cameras have gotten so simple. Now the director or even cinematographer or anyone could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like I said earlier, it was just the the industry evolves. That's all it is.
As it is.
It evolves, it changes out, and there will be jobs lost, but as well, there'll be jobs gained on top of that. There'll be some job that someone's job is to take care of the AI.
And of course, this will help out VFX companies. We now know VFX companies are being way overworked and put on time constraints they can't keep up with.
Yeah.
Completely ridiculous, unbelievable, impossible time constraints. So these tools will help them keep up to actually get movies and films out on time. All right. Last thing before we hit our break. Disney hires Paramount's Daria Sursek to lead Film Studios' live-action division. So, you guys don't know, last February, the previous person who was ahead of all the live-action films, I think that was Sean Bailey, he's gone. He was there for 15 years, he's now gone.
So they just fired him?
I'm pretty sure they fired him. It's probably like the forced resignation, forced early retirement, that kind of stuff like that. But people have been complaining for the last years about all the live-action films.
They all suck.
Yeah. So, of course, what you got to do, you got to shake things up, get rid of the person in charge, bring someone new.
I mean, overall, what do you expect these live actions if you've already seen the animated?
Mm-hmm. My thing is, does it even matter who you put in charge, whether these things will do good?
Probably not.
Probably not, because I'm looking right now at the list of like live action films that were released.
Yeah.
And they all have the exact same look to them.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Pan and Wendy, The Jungle Cruise, Pete's Dragon, Into the Woods, Mulan, Kim Possible. Mm-hmm. And it's just...
they're trying to keep on like that Disney feel, the Disney look.
Yes.
With every project. And it does not look good with every project.
I'm just waiting for the leading ladies just have Disney knees.
Mm.
You ever seen those?
Yeah. The
Disney knees? And just like Jonas Brothers to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, shit, that would be the most Disney thing. You going to look that up? The Disney knees?
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
You ever heard that, Adrian?
No.
The Disney knees? Watch. You'll see. It's a stance that usually like the female leads will stand in a way to where the knees crook together. Like they collapse inward.
Huh. It's like the staple.
Yes. Like all of them have it, no matter what performer. Like usually like the anyone's that they turn into singers.
They do the Disney knees.
Yep. Don't know why. I don't know why it's a thing. I wish I knew. But it's just weird.
You see it now. You see it now, don't you? Yeah.
So now watch. You're gonna pay attention from now on when you either see like a Disney show or shit. Any past artist who was on Disney, you can watch Sabrina Carpenter. She does the exact same thing.
So here's what I'm thinking, or what I want to say. What do you think Disney needs to do to finally shake things up for people to actually start liking their live action?
Take a risk.
That's one thing.
You're about to say no, right?
I was going
to
say not make them.
Not make them. You think this is done? They need to stop?
I say, like, if you're going to make a live action Disney movie, let it not be on content already created.
So you want original live action?
Yeah.
Live action. So not remakes, reboots, any stuff. Makes sense.
Nah. It's not even just going off of, you know, trying to make reboots and like that, but it's just take a damn risk. Take a risk making films. Take something, you know, something like...
You don't think Snow White's a risk?
Oh, no. That was not a risk. That was just them being cocky.
Yeah.
That's
they were like, we can do it.
Yeah.
we can definitely do it.
They had a few hits. Somehow they ignore that formula and kind of like, what's it called? Cruella and Maleficent.
Yeah.
Pretty good movies, but somehow like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just bring back all these. Let's do Aladdin. Let's do Snow White. Well, let's do Lion King.
I hate those misunderstood villain movies too, because they don't make sense to me. Because I'm going to watch the animated version and this person doesn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Cruella's like, I'm misunderstood. I can do what I want. I'm a fashion queen.
Kill these fucking dogs.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Maleficent. Oh, I'm a misunderstood spirit of the forest. Oh, I'm going to wage war on man, but keep the peace so I can keep to my realm. I'm going to curse this fucking child to die.
It kind of like, it does ruin it.
A little bit, but I mean, take a risk, man. When it comes to making these films, why stick to the same formula? Why try to play it safe? And Don't bring The Rock into any of this.
Just God, for the love of God, do not bring The Rock into any of it.
You already brought him in Jungle Cruise. Just leave him alone.
And don't make a partnership and where Moana. It's like, well, what if we bring in Kevin Hart into it with The Rock? They're a good duo. Don't do that either. Just don't do that.
So you just want original live action content.
Yes.
Go back to the original. Go back to when you're like, fuck it, let's make all the rides into movies.
Honestly, yeah.
Let's go back to that.
How would you feel like, yeah, go back to doing rides movies.
Where the fuck is my Matterhorn movie?
Yeah, make it.
Dude. Shit. You got three abominable fucking snowmans in there, terrifying as all hell.
That's true. That is very true.
Like, damn, make a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It takes you directly to hell.
Actually, yeah. I was thinking about that today.
Mr. Toad, yeah.
I was thinking about that today because I was watching a video. I'm like, no kid in this fucking world knows about Mr. Toad. No one knows about him. And yet there's a ride on him.
Yeah. You want a live action? Here's your live action.
Just give him a ride so we know what it's about.
We're going to ride to hell. But don't give me accurate looking Toad.
No.
Like right? Photorealistic.
Hire the new animators that did Sonic, not the old ones. All right. We don't need the old ones. We don't need hyper realistic Sonic.
Well, that's the same team.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that.
No. That team, they were told, those were the notes they were given of what to do. And then when they got the backlash, the studio was like, what the fuck do you do?
What you told me to do.
So yeah. They had to do all that extra work to redo everything to what you got now.
All right. Well,
yeah, that's the same too. Yeah.
Work that formula, not the original formula.
Yeah.
Of weird ass Nike shoe wearing Sonic. Give me the now Sonic and make Mr. Toad with that.
So in other words, just make an animated cartoon.
Make an animated cartoon. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. But don't do it like Home on the Range. All right. Because I watched that. Mm. I told you guys that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The last 2D movie.
Yeah.
It's a fucking fever dream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's god awful.
No, I'm not saying to do that. I'm just talking about
I know, but like, yes, to create an animation, but not that particular style.
Actually,
like,
I was looking right now. The Chip and Dale movie. How they made one animated and one was 3D animated.
Oh, yeah. Like there that. You go. Yeah. Shit.
I'm surprised they haven't tried doing their own Roger Rabbit.
They need to redo that one again because that shit's over 30 years old.
We're never going to get a Jessica Rabbit.
Nah, they won't do it.
But I mean, they don't have to do that, but they have so much content for their own Disney universe. I'm surprised they just haven't done their own version.
No, they've, I supposedly there's rumor that they were going to make a reboot of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should.
Dude.
No, you can't touch that. You can't touch that, but you can still use that format.
Like we did with live the Chip and Dale movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, see, that, the Chip and Dale movie was a good example of that.
Yeah, actually, that was the perfect example.
Exactly, yeah.
It was great.
Why couldn't they just do stuff like that if they want to do live action?
They should. They absolutely should.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It absolutely was.
I would recommend it. But anyway, this particular person by the name Daria.
Mm-hmm. Daria Sersek, yeah.
I hope she does well. I hope maybe she brings something that brings some sort of vitalization. I mean, she worked on Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope she brings some sort of vitalization to these live-action Disney movies. Mm-hmm. I'm not very hopeful of it. Not to say that I'm not hopeful of her skills.
You're just Disney in general
in general.
Got it. I understand.
Disney's not going to swing for the fence. They're going to play it safe.
Like they always do.
They're going to hit a grounder for a single every single time. Because they're like, hey, if we just chip away at it just a little bit. Fuck that. Mookie Betts or Otani that bitch, you know? Swing for the fences.
Dude, at the end of it, it's just what makes them money.
Exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
And they're going to stick to like their formula of like, all right, well, our focus group says that they like squirrels, so I think we're going to add squirrels. Also, the color blue they like, but like a certain like cobalt blue because it's less threatening. Like, fuck all that. Stop it.
Just make a damn movie. That's
like,
it.
Like, damn. Just make the damn movie.
I agree. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to cover our main topic. So stay tuned and we'll be right back to you guys.
Here are smaller news articles that couldn't make it in today's episode. Bong Joon-ho teases his return to the horror genre for a project nearly 19 years later. Clayface movie gets director Speak No Evil, James Watkins, and stunt double of Tom Holland will be doing most of the work for Spider-Man 4 while Tom Holland films The Odyssey. And that's it for smaller news articles. Now back to the episode.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. Amazon has the full rights to the 007 franchise, and they are making plans to really match up against DC, you know, the DCU for Warner Brothers. They really want to compete against Marvel's, Disney's Marvel's. They think they have a massive, expansive universe to produce constant James Bond content.
They want to franchise the James Bond universe.
It is a franchise. It is.
Yeah.
It already is a franchise, but they're trying to create an extended universe now of James Bond films.
I hate it.
They really want to compete against the Lord of the Rings, the Star Wars, all that stuff.
Why not? My thing is like, why not? Who cares?
Do you think 007's franchisable like that? Where it can have its own spinoff series? Would you watch a Q or M spinoff series?
Depends how it's done. All depends. No, okay. Mike says no, like, nope, I would never do that. But we have proven Mike wrong numerous times. So,
I don't know, because the closest we got to an extended universe is John Wick. And we tried with the Continental. And then it didn't work out so well. Because they were like, no one really gives a fuck about the Continental.
People did. I think they just didn't know how to do it right.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Like, I don't think it was marketed correctly.
Yeah.
The way they sold it, I don't think it was done right.
And John Wick is pretty new. James Bond has history. Well over 60 years of history.
Yeah.
So it has a name behind it. It's just like anything, you know, if you're going to produce any new Star Wars movie, it has the name behind it. If you're going to produce anything Star Trek related, it has the name behind it. Anything Marvel related, it has the name behind it. So 007 James Bond has the name behind it.
I just know that when they said they wanted to compete against Marvel's universe, Star Wars universe, DC universe, it just basically tells me that like all these other universes, at least for Marvel and DC, they're looking for their Thanos. They're looking for
the big bad,
their dark side.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, so now we're going to get multiple movies and shows leading up to fucking Dr. No.
No, I don't think that's what they're trying to go for.
Yeah, I mean, they did not say whether these stories are going to be interconnected in that way. You see what I'm saying? Just because you have your expanded universe doesn't mean it needs to be a linear Marvel storyline. It could be like how Star Wars is doing it. There's no linear storyline. It's just different stories happening within this universe.
They gave up.
Yeah, what's it called? I mean, like you said earlier, Star Trek.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Star Trek is notorious for that, where there is no linear at all with anything.
It's just different events, different stories happening within this universe.
Yeah, but I just don't see that with James Bond.
No.
Does that mean I don't give a shit about the origins of M? I don't. You're going to show me a flashback of World War II, so it's like, oh, you're just going to give me a Peggy Carter? Mm-hmm. Like, and Q. Who the fuck cares about the Q? What, am I going to watch him through grade school?
No, I mean, the way I see may possibly doing this show is, like I said, they're doing different characters, different, you know, different points of history.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe impossible that, you know, there's one show based on how, you know, how the organization started itself or the original 007. You know, because supposedly they're like, the mantle gets passed on.
So basically just the origin of MI6?
Pretty much either the origin of MI6 or the origin of the original 007 and how his story, you know, progressed over the years or something like that.
But I don't even think it's like that. I think it's just more like number-based system. So however many numbers you have, just happen to have.
No, I mean, like I said, I'm not a big 007 fan, but the one thing I've read was that supposedly there was never such thing as just one 007. It's just at that current time, that's
007.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like that number.
Yeah.
So it's basically whoever is the agent who's in the position of 007 at that time. It's just a moniker that gets passed over.
Yeah. I don't see it. Honestly, it's going to show me like various forms of 00s.
Uh-huh.
And
005, 006.
And everyone thinks like, oh, this is our chance. We're going to get our Idris Elba. We're going to get our Henry Cavill. We're going to get all the ones we ever wanted.
Yeah, because that's also what I want to talk about next is now that you have 007 fully under Amazon's belt and they're going to produce films, who's going to be playing it now?
None of those people.
None
of them.
Standard.
You're going to get Armie Hammer. You're going to get the dude from Twister. From Twisters.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're going to get the standard one.
Well, it has to be Brit.
Yeah. Or yeah,
they have to be British. It has to be a British person.
You're not going to get Tom Hardy.
Harry Styles.
You might.
Yeah.
You might. Don't look past it. You might. You might get your Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
You might get your Tom Holland. Shit. Oh, no. Timothy Chalamet. He's a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, I do agree with you at some point. Not every franchise or series can be fully out there into an expanded universe. Like, I know they wanted to do that with, like, Game of Thrones, and that's failing hard.
Yeah. I never asked for any of this.
Yeah.
If anything, if you gave me a... If you gave me a series about like the First Men mm-hmm. and origins of like the first like invasion of the White Walkers, I'd yeah. be like, hey, that's fucking cool because it's talked about before in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I never asked about any of this Song of the Dance of Dragons yeah. when we all know what's going to happen.
Exactly. And the same thing. I mean, you mentioned John Wick, but like they've. The standard John Wick films did good, but the minute they want to do Continental and then the Ballerina, it started crashing hard because that's not something really meant for expanding universe. I can see the comic books. When they were doing the comic book routes for stuff like that, it made sense. But trying to do expanded live action universe, it doesn't work for everything.
It doesn't. Well, my whole thing with the whole John Wick is just how it was marketed. Yeah, it was yeah. mismarketed as they kept marking John Wick universe, John Wick, John Wick.
Yeah.
So you expected John Wick.
Yeah.
You're not getting that. I think this would only work if they market it correctly. Honestly, like I said, I'm not a big fan of the 007 series, franchise.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big fan of it ever yeah. since we talked about earlier. The last ones I watched was the 2000s.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, that's the last ones I watched. No, I did watch the recent ones, but I was not a big fan of them.
The Daniel Craig ones?
You didn't
ones?
Like the Daniel Craig ones?
I like those ones.
I like those ones too, yeah, I do.
I was not a big
fan of them. Well, I like Casino Royale. I like Casino Royale.
You know, I'm going to leave that at that. I like Casino Royale.
No, the reason
I don't care. I like Casino Royale.
No, I've seen like the older ones and I've seen the reason I like those over the top gadgets. I just love that shit.
The over the top gadgets.
I hate the over the top gadgets.
You hated that?
I hated those.
That's like the staple though.
I they were so corny to me.
What about like in Dr. No, like the classic ones and stuff like that? Did you really hate like...
No, dude, I want a shoe that has like fucking bomb in it. That's I want that.
Stupid. I like the villains, man. The classic villain. Octopussy? Like, come on. Pussy galore?
All that was dumb.
Come on.
All that.
You hate all that? You want the more realism.
I like the realism with a little bit of like, of the outlandish.
Okay.
You know? And I got that with the Daniel Craig ones.
Okay, so that's like your sweet spot. That was my sweet spot.
Yeah, that I'm was like, okay, you. That's tangible. Rather than just like, here's a car that turns into a submarine, the airplane, and a pen that explodes with C4.
See, and then that's also like,
shut the fuck up.
Which direction do you go now? Because there are people who like the Daniel Craig realism, but then there's a lot of people who like the nostalgia factor of the old classic gadgets that just got way out there.
I think we find a happy medium. I think you could do it.
Like, I think the Pierce Brosnan one did do a little, like, the minute you had that shitty, what was it, the one with Holly Berry?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Is that No Time to Die?
No Time to Die. Like, that entire setup of that movie was just over the fucking top.
Okay, that if we ignore all that. But if we go back, like, it's like, the villains itself, the gadgets, the, you know, they're fun. Mm-hmm.
They are a staple of James Bond at its core.
Yeah.
Yeah, because... All the original ones had, here, look at this pin. If you look at it, it throws up.
To be fair, James Bond would have the closest ensemble of villains compared to Marvel, because they're just out there.
But I swear to God, I cannot handle a modern day odd job. Dude, I can't. I cannot handle that.
Why not?
Because it's so fucking dumb. It's so dumb.
That lethal hat.
That motherfucker from Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
God, what was his name? I don't remember his name. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Kung Lao.
There you go. Kung
Lao.
Just
Kung Lao to everyone.
Basically, that's it. And it was like, okay, it was cool that you had a bowler hat that did that. But now in today's standard, that would just be dumb. That's so stupid.
What's that dude with the metal teeth?
I know who you're talking about.
I forgot his name. Jaws?
Iron Jaws or something.
I think Iron Jaws or something like that.
I think something like that.
I'm sure somebody listening right now is like, it's obviously, and then just names it out. Iron Teeth.
Jaws. It's just Jaws.
Oh my God. Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Dude, a modern version of that.
See?
Choose to steal cable.
Stupid. Just traits. Just straight stupid.
I think I might enjoy the stupidness of it. You're selling this more, Mike.
If honestly, if it is to that silly route, then you might as well just make more Austin Power movies. You know? Because that's all they were. They were just like spoofs of James Bond.
Yeah, no, no, no. But like, I don't know. I think that might... It sounds so ridiculous, but I think this is something that... Now that I'm thinking about it with his villains and storylines and arcs, it might be something close enough you could expand like Marvel.
God, it's going to be so dumb. There has to be... There's got to be a certain tone because... God. I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like if you go this route... The tone of it being just...
It becomes silly.
Silly?
Yeah.
Then it's just like, how far do you push that silliness to where it just becomes satirical? To where it's no longer...
No, I think if you hit something in the same level as like the Jack Reacher show, that kind of seriousness...
I feel like that's also kind of over the top.
It is a little over
the top. It is, but I mean, that's like...
It's very dramatized, like tough guy,
and that's a little cheesy too at times.
That's unfortunately that's the only way I see happening with 007.
Yeah,
with its whole ensemble of villains. I mean, there's only so much before you know one guy steals a nuke and wants to pop the world.
I don't know, like. I'm actually pretty interesting how they want to do this, but there is a lot of hiccups with this, and I do see both of your guys' points on like how are you going to find that balance. Between silliness and seriousness and something new.
Yeah.
I say just do an anthology series. Do an anthology series, different decades, different 007s.
That might work.
I don't know, but it sounds like they want to fully franchise it out. Yeah, so you're going to get TV shows, movies, and probably even animations.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. See, even Mike rolls his eyes right when I said animation.
Jesus Christ. But that's what I'm saying is... Pretty much you expect, instead of sticking to one storyline or one, you know, if you're doing like all within the same years,
yeah.
Why not just do one show based during the 70s, another, you know, a movie based during like the
90s or something like that. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Just sparse it out in their decades.
Yes.
So they don't have to intersect on the same time period.
Yeah.
But then eventually will, because then someone down the line is going to get to modern day 007 and they'll be like, who can we trust? I think I know someone. And it's going to go back to like some 004, you know? And it's always going to be him like walking into the house. Like, is he here? Yeah, he should be. And then from like around the dark corner or something, you just see like a gun out of the shadows. Mm-hmm. And then they wheelchair themselves forward. It's always a wheelchair or some shit. No. And then they show their face and everyone's like, oh shit, that's 00 so-and-so.
I'm just waiting for the last movie. He's in a massive shootout with like his greatest enemy. And all of a sudden, he's pinned down. He's just all by himself. And then over the radio, on your left, in the sling ring. And you get your own endgame.
You get the various locations of allies from like past movies and locations.
Or,
you know, bet.
If they're doing the whole Marvel thing. Fuck it. Why not just do the multiverse? All the different 007s come out.
Oh, fuck. Then you just have
James Bond. 00 gag.
James Bond, No Way Home.
Mm-hmm. You get Daniel Craig. You're going to get Pierce Brosnan. You do an AI Sean Connery.
Oh, fuck.
With all the fucking shitty deepfakes from like Flash movie.
Yep.
Yes.
Not even good level deepfakes, that level. Just all nasty and gummy.
And the ones where they like de-age them by 40 years or something. De-aged Pierce Bronson. It's going to be weird.
Nah, no. This is going to actually be pretty interesting moving forward because Amazon has really been working hard on picking up franchises and a lot of IPs. So, like I said, they have video games. They got the James Bond. They're trying to move more into animation. So, this is just something more that they're trying to provide for their catalog.
Yeah. The original owners are the ones who held most of the creative rights, Barbara Broccoli and Michael G. Wilson.
Yeah.
I guess they're stepping back to focus more on like...
I think
charitable.
Yeah, I think they're finally letting it go and allowing someone else to. I mean, that's something that's been in their family, and they've been really involved in all these movies for over 60 years.
Yeah,
I think now that their father and everything, that everyone's done, people have retired, people have moved on and passed on. I think they're just finally done with it.
Yeah,
and just want to at least, you know, still collecting the money, still have their name on everything, but allow they different still, studio to do stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, it's one of those things where unfortunately, if you let extended family members take over, unfortunately, history has shown that that's never a good thing.
Never a good
thing. Because then you have, you know, unfortunately, you're going to have grandchildren who don't really care about the project and just looking to make some money off of it.
Yeah.
And that's when they sell off projects, which we've seen happen already.
That's how you have, end up with Superman getting sold off for super cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck,
that's remember?
Yeah. Yep. God damn it.
Yeah. All right, well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How you feel about the whole thing with Amazon buying James Bond series? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel. For our listeners, discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before I fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, all the different ways you can listen to us, including, as Anthony has mentioned, on YouTube. Head on over there and look up youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast. Look for the screaming microphone and you should be able to find us, as well as these episodes live and when they're recorded. Our videos usually come out every Friday, and then audios come out usually every Wednesday. And of course, you'll be able to listen to us on the go with Samsung Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Be sure to share with a loved one or a friend that you think might enjoy these episodes, because we enjoy doing them and we have people in the industry that enjoy listening to it too. So yeah, consider sharing it with them and hope to gain that audience following, you know? It'd be awesome. Of course, we also have our Patreon account, which we'd really appreciate if you guys also subscribe to, because more subscribers equals more content. There it is. We like doing these, and we'd really appreciate it, so that way, you know, we can quit our jobs, and we can just do this full time, and you know, make cool edits and shit. You know, we can put Subway Surfers at the bottom of it, you know? We can do that. I could do that. I'll do anything you want. Just subscribe. Just fucking subscribe. Right? But yeah, that's all I got. All
right, guys. You heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.